Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Kerwinsville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.kerwinsvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
We're looking at the whole issue of justification. What I mean by justification is the fact that when God sees you, you are justified. That is, that you can stand before Him without having to worry about anything in your life. And we're looking specifically at the issue of how do you and I become justified. Last week in particular, we looked at the first part of this section where it talks about the things that don't justify us. We're not justified by our works, by all the good stuff you do, whether you do a lot of good stuff or not. You're not justified by your religious ritual. Just because you showed up here today does not justify you before God, because maybe you gave something in the offering, or maybe you read through the Bible this week. Your religious acts aren't going to justify you before God. And even keeping the law, Paul tells us, is not going to justify you. So then you say, okay, if it isn't my works, if it isn't my religious actions, if it isn't my keeping the law, how then am I justified? How can you and I be accepted by God? Because that's really the issue. How then are you and I accepted by God? How are we justified then? So I want you to notice with me, we're going to look at the last part of chapter 4 today, and he's going to show us through the example of Abraham of what justifies you and I. What gains our acceptance with God? What is it that allows me to stand before Him without worrying about Him casting me into hell? So notice with me what he says. Verse 18 through verse 25. Speaking of Abraham, he says this, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. What we're going to look at today is, if it's not by my works, my good deeds versus my bad deeds, and let's be honest with you, you may do a lot of good stuff, but the bad stuff you do far outweighs the good stuff you do. It's not because of your religious actions. Because you can do all the right stuff as far as church, and that doesn't gain any acceptance with God whatsoever. And you can even try to keep the law, but no one can keep the law fully. And Jesus, in the Word of God, says that if you fail in one area of the law, you transgress all of the law. So you and I are not justified by any of those things. What are we justified then by, George? Well, as we look at the example of Abraham in this passage, what Paul's trying to tell us is that what justifies you and I is our faith. Faith. What do you mean by faith? You mean my belief? Well, yes, kind of, because actually faith goes beyond just believing. Because you can mentally agree to something, but yet not truly believe it. You say, what do you mean? Well, James, in his epistle, talks about the demons, that the demons believe in Jesus, and they even tremble at Him. But the fact of the reality is that the demons are going to hell because they rebelled against the very God they saw. See, we're going to talk today about what kind of faith is it that justifies? Because that is what is your basis of your justification before God, is not just believing, but having faith. So what do we mean by that? So let's look at several different things concerning this example of Abraham that helps you and I to understand what it is, what kind of faith is it that justifies us before God. Here's the first thing. Verse 18 tells us this. Notice what verse 18 says. And who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. The first thing I want you to see about the kind of faith that justifies is this. Faith believes in spite of hopelessness. Faith believes in spite of hopelessness. I want you to think about Abraham for a moment. Here's Abraham. He grows up in Ur of Chaldees, which is southern Saudi Arabia. God appears to him, tells him to go to a place that he has prepared for him, a new place, a place he's never been to. And he goes by faith to that place. And as he's going, God gives him a promise and says, I'm going to give you a son. And out of you will come many nations. He gives him that promise, and in spite of everything, he holds on to that promise that he's going to have a son. Not just any son, because he tries to have a son through Hagar, but that was not the fulfillment of the promise. The promise was is that he would have a son through a certain woman. That woman being Sarah. So he waits. 25 years he waits. Even when everything seems hopeless, what do you mean hopeless? By the time that he has the son, the fulfillment of the promise, he's 100 years old. Not only is he 100 years old, but Sarah is 90 years old. She's long past childbearing years. Long past it. And faith clings to the promise of God in spite of all the hopeless things around it. That's the kind of faith that justifies. For you and I, it's clinging to the faith and the trust that Jesus is going to save us in spite of everything else around us, in spite of the hopeless things that happen around us. It's holding on to it. That's the kind of faith he's talking about here for you and I. It's not just simply believing a bunch of facts. You know, we could put the creeds up on the screens. We could put the Nicene Creed that I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and his son Jesus. Every one of us could acknowledge that, those statements, and say, yes, we believe that. But that's not the kind of belief that's going to save you. It's believing in the person of Jesus Christ and who he is, in spite of the hopelessness around you, in spite of the things that happen around you. Faith believes in spite of hopelessness. Here's another thing. Faith, look at verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. First of all, faith is not hindered by circumstance. Faith is not hindered by circumstance. Faith trusts in God no matter what happens around you. Let me just go ahead and tell you right now. A lot of stuff will happen around you. You'll get yourself in situations, you'll put yourself in stuff that you'll sit there and you say, you know, do I follow what God says? Do I have trust in what He tells me? Do I believe in Him? Or do I look at all the stuff that's happening around me and get confused by that? What Abraham did was, is even in spite of the fact he was 100 years old, you'd think by 100 years old he'd given up. For you and I, we would have given up. We wouldn't have waited. How many of you would wait 25 years for a promise to be fulfilled? How many of you would do that? I don't see any hands. Why? Because we're the microwave generation, aren't we? We get irritated at going through McDonald's and then telling, pull over there. Well, I thought this was the drive-thru. We want it now, don't we? Or when we call the service guy and he says, the part will be in 3 weeks. 3 weeks? We want it yesterday. And what happens is that kind of mentality comes over into our lives. And when it comes to God, oh, I believe in you, Jesus, but if it doesn't happen when I want it to happen, I'm going to do my own thing. See, faith, though, faith is not hindered by circumstances. Faith holds on, no matter what's going on around it, no matter how bleak the situation is. Faith holds on to what God says. And that's the kind of faith that justifies. He wasn't hindered by circumstances. Not only was he not hindered by circumstances, you look at verse 20, it says here that he didn't waver. He didn't waver. So the next point I want you to see here is that faith does not struggle with doubt. Faith does not struggle with doubt. The word waver there means literally to be divided. Almost takes you right back to what James says in chapter 1. In verse 6 and 8, he says this, but let him ask in faith. Again, he's talking about faith here. With no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of a sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is what? Double-minded. He's divided in his thinking. Unstable in all of his ways. See, he's saying here, what is he saying? Paul's saying to us through the example of Abraham, that the faith that justifies, the faith that saves, the faith that brings you and I to salvation is a faith that doesn't waver. It just holds on to the fact that Jesus is my way to heaven. Jesus is my way to forgiveness. Jesus is my way to acceptance with God and no other way. He's not double-minded. He's not thinking in terms of, well, you know, okay, I'll pray that prayer just in case that happens to be the way, but if it isn't, you know, I'll try something else too. That's double-minded thinking. That's wavering. That's not faith. That's playing all of your options. That's playing all of your options. But see, he had faith. He didn't waver. He didn't waver. And that's the kind of faith that God calls us to. He calls us to that kind of faith that doesn't struggle with doubt. The next thing I want you to see is verse 20 and 21. Then say this, look at verse 21. And being fully convinced that what he promised, he was able to perform. Here's the aspect about faith that you and I need to grasp, and that's this. Faith is persuaded that God is able. Faith is persuaded that God is able. Let me ask you something. Just put your pens down for a moment on what you think. You're in the midst of something right now. Maybe you're the only one who knows it. Maybe your spouse knows it. Maybe a few friends. And you're really wrestling with something in your life right now, and you need God to do something. You need Him to work in some way. You need Him to intervene. You need God. The question is you're sitting there and you say, oh, I believe God, you can do it. Do you? I mean, it's the Christian thing to say, oh yeah, He's able to do anything. It's the Christian thing to say, He created the heavens and the earth. It's the Christian thing to say that God is all-powerful and all-knowing. That's the Christian thing to say. And that's the front we put up to everybody, isn't it? I were to say, everybody raise your hand if you believe God's all-powerful. Everybody raise their hand, wouldn't it? Everybody raise your hand if God's able to do anything. Everybody would raise their hand. But that's the front we put up to everybody. But I want you to right now to forget about the front. I want you to forget about what you want to other people to, because nobody wants to be seen as, I don't know if I can trust God in that area. I want you just to get down in the inside of your mind and the inside of your heart. Talking about the faith you have, the faith that justifies. I want to ask yourself a question. I don't want you to answer me. I want you to answer yourself. Do you believe? Do you really believe He's able? You've got to ask yourself that question, because that's the reality. That's the kind of faith we're talking about here. We're not just talking about agreeing to a bunch of facts. A lot of people agree to a bunch of facts. But the faith that transforms, the faith that justifies, the faith that changes your life is holding on to the reality of who He is and the reality of what He said and the reality of what He can do in your life. See, Abraham held on to that, and Abraham believed that even as a 100-year-old dude with a 90-year-old woman, they could have a baby. Why? Because God said so. And he believed God was able to do it. He believed God was able to perform. In fact, it's interesting what Romans doesn't tell us. If you go to Genesis, the year before the baby came, they had a visitation where God himself came with a couple of his angels, and they sat down and had a meal with Abraham. And the Lord tells Abraham, by this time next year, Sarah, your wife, is going to be with child. Sarah, on the other side of the tent, doing the ear thing, wanting to hear what was going out there with those men. Here's the Lord say, you're going to have a child. And guess what she does? She laughs. Why? Because she knows how old she is. She's long past the childbearing years. But see, Abraham, he believed. See, that's faith. See, the question you've got to ask yourself is, do you really believe? See, here's the thing, though. If you really believe, it's not something that'll just stay hidden in your heart. It'll show in your life. You're not going to worry about the circumstances. You're not going to be double-minded in the way that you act and live. Because you know He's able. See, that's the faith that justifies. Can I tell you something? It's not praying some prayer. It's not being dunked in the tank. It's believing with all your heart, mind, and soul who He is and what He said, and giving your life to Him. That's faith. Faith is persuaded. Notice the word is persuaded. You don't have to convince him. You don't have to double talk him to try to get him to understand. It's already convinced that God is able. Are you convinced? Are you persuaded? Are you convinced and are you persuaded? In fact, here's what he gets to, verse 22. He says this, and therefore it is accounted for him for righteousness. Here's what he's saying. Faith justifies. Faith justifies. Remember what he said to us earlier in chapter 4. He says, it's not your works. It's not being nice to people that you don't like. You know, I'm taking care of Aunt so-and-so. She's a miserable old lady. But I'm doing a good thing, God. He sees right through that. Let's just be honest. He sees right through all your good intentions. Well, Lord, I send out my Christmas cards on time. I even put a special note in there for him. Just not my name. I even write a little note. Man, you think God doesn't see through that? They see through it too. They don't hear from you any time of the year than the card. It's not your works. It's not your religious acts. Well, man, I'm at the church every time the doors open. That isn't going to do anything for you. And keeping the law, well, we won't even go there. Because the reality is we can't do it. But what does? It's faith. It's truly trusting in Jesus Christ for who He is and what He said and giving your life to Him. You know, we had this discussion in Sunday school, you know, this whole issue today in North America about Savior and Lord. My friends, we're the only people in the world that believe that. Rest of Christians around the world, when they come to Jesus, they come to Him and recognize Him for who He is. Lord! That's what faith is recognizing that I'm giving my life to the God of the universe. That's the faith that justifies. When I hold back an area of my life, I'm in rebellion. It's not an issue of I haven't just accepted Him as Lord yet. The fact is He's Lord whether I recognize Him as that or not. See, faith justifies. It justifies. And here's the basis for our faith. Look with me now in verse 23 through 25. Now it was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. The basis for our faith must be Jesus. The whole basis for your faith is Jesus. What about Jesus? Here's what the basis for your faith is that one took your place and died so that you didn't have to die the death that was deserved by each and every one of us. You say, I'm going to die. Yeah, you're going to die physically, but He took your place so that you didn't have to die spiritually. Spiritually die forever in hell. See, the basis of faith is that I believe that somebody died for me. I believe that somebody took my place and took what I rightfully deserved. That's the basis of faith. That's the faith that justifies. All this other stuff doesn't justify. All that other stuff doesn't justify anything. The only thing that justifies you before God is Jesus and embracing what He's done for you. And embracing it means not just simply believing it, but taking it to heart and living it. You know what? You can tell. You know why people call people outside the church, call people in the church hypocrites? You ever know? First of all, they're right. Don't be offended at it. Anytime anybody tells me before the church is full of hypocrites, I just nod in agreement. Because here's what they're seeing. That if you really believed what you said you believed, it would show in your life. It would show in your life. I'm not talking about religious works and stuff. I'm not talking about that. Holy talking. Walking around with a Bible all the time. Remember, that stuff doesn't justify. But if you really believed and committed your life to what He said, it will change your life. It will change your life. Let me just give you three thoughts as we close. Again, number one, are you trying to justify yourself to God? Are you trying to justify yourself to God? Well, God, I've come to the church forever. God, I put money in the Salvation Army kettle every Christmas. God, I don't get upset with my neighbor when their cat uses my garden as their bathroom. It's me, God. Do you see how much I gave? Are you trying to justify yourself to God? Are you? That's the point you need to understand. Are you trying to justify, well, you know, God, I'm not an axe murderer. God, I'm not killing anybody. I mean, I'd like to, but I'm not. Are you justifying yourself to God? I mean, can I be honest with you? If you've got that mentality where you think that you're doing the right stuff to gain His acceptance with God, you got a problem. You got to ask yourself the question, are you justifying yourself to God? The next thing you need to do is this, is recognize that you can't justify yourself. You can't justify yourself. There's nothing you can do to justify yourself with God. Because the fact of the matter is all of us here fall so short of the mark that He has set. And the mark of perfection is His Son. You and I fall so short from that mark. There is nothing you can do to get to that level. You ever had that feeling before? Like you could never do anything enough to please anybody? You ever had that kind of feeling before? I know I felt that way. Well, let me tell you, you can never do enough to please God. Nothing. I mean, if we had 24-hour church services here, and you came, and all we had to eat were cheeseburgers and drink iced tea, and you gagged it down, and you said, God, I'm here, and I'm gagging it down, that isn't going to do it. That is not going to do it. You can't justify yourself. What can you do then? You are only justified by faith in Jesus. You're only justified by faith in Jesus. Look, can I be honest with you? One day when you stand before the Lord, one day when I stand before the Lord, I heard John Piper say this, and he said, you know, in his life, he said, when God takes that little folder, and you know what? It'll be a little folder. And He says, why should you enter into my kingdom? And the words would be, because I believe in you, Jesus. And they take my little folder and they say, well, what evidence is there that you believed? What evidence is there that you had faith in your life? Oh, in this situation, he trusted. In this situation, he held on. In this situation, he clung to the belief that Jesus was the only way. See, the question is to you and I, you are only justified by your faith. Is it evidenced in your life? So what are you talking about evidence? Well, think about what James says. Faith without works is what? Dead. You are only justified by your faith. You're only justified by your faith.
Thank you for being with us this morning. And we trust that today's message has been both challenging and an encouragement to your heart. At Kerwinsville Christian Church, a warm welcome is always extended to you. We're located at 700 State Street, Kerwinsville, Pennsylvania. For more information about our ministry, please visit us on the web at www.kerwinsvillechristian.org. Now, on behalf of George Cannon and the entire church family, we hope that you will look to the Heavenly Father in all that you face this coming week.